Grace and peace to each one gathered here this morning. As I thought about this day and the days ahead, I realized that for some of us, difficult days and hours have come. For some time, we've been talking about and planning for and thinking about Ken and his family leaving us and being sent to Ireland. And for some of us, it was kind of an eventuality, something out there in the future, something that we know is going to happen. We objectively talk about it, but that time is coming and is here now. And I know we're all sad and to see Ken's go, and I feel like in some ways I probably feel that challenge. I feel like I feel that challenge personally, maybe even more than some. Ken and I think, have had a unique relationship. I feel very privileged to have worked with Ken these numbers of years. I've known him for a little more than 14 years, or at least knew who he was that far back. And for the last, 7 years, we've been working, or 8 years, we've been working a lot closer together, side by side on many levels. And I think we thought we understood each other, at least pretty well. And I want to treasure those memories of the years we worked together here. But as much as I feel the pain of Ken's leaving, our task this morning is something that I'm glad to be part of, the task of sending, commissioning. And as I thought about, and I've been thinking about what to share this morning, what can I give or what can I say to Ken or to his family as they prepare to go on this new venture? In some ways, I don't feel like I have a lot to say to Ken. I've only been in Ireland once, very briefly, it felt like. It's been a long time since I've been there. And I know as they go, there will be many different situations there. New challenges, new opportunities, new people to work with. There'll be all kinds of different situations. But my mind went to just a simple phrase that I kept coming back to, this, where the church in Antioch is thinking about the churches that Paul had established on his first missionary journey. It says in Acts 15, verse 40, it says, "And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God." And I realized that this morning, the best thing that I have to offer to Ken and his family is a commendation to the grace of God. The grace of God will be with you as you meet those new situations, as you talk to those people, develop new relationships, explore new opportunities. The grace of God will go with you, and it's not only going with you, but it's what we will be depending on here as well. As I think about Ken's leaving, and the hole that will create in the leadership team and the challenges that we face here, we will be depending on the grace of God just as much as they will be. But you know, as I thought about this, depending on the grace of God seems like a trite expression in some ways, just a simple thing. But I realized as I read those verses where Paul is commended by the brothers to the grace of God, you know, that's all that Paul needed. The grace of God to enable him on his journey. And I realized that as we think about meeting together in this public assembly this morning, I really don't think anything that we say or is said or is done here this morning is going to immediately confer some kind of a special thing in Ken that's going to make him the perfect missionary or his family. But you know, I really believe that this descending is the result of many years, a process of many years. And I think, as I know Ken, I think I know him well enough to know that he still feels in the middle of that process, that he hasn't perfectly arrived. But yet God has been preparing them, and I feel like I've been privileged to have a front row seat in watching some of that happen in the life of their family and in Ken's life personally. Situations such as their time in Kenya, and I think also of situations at Milmont, challenges that he and I worked through together. I think of family relationship challenges. Many different ways that I see God at work in their lives and in our lives as well, as a church here and as a family. And so the words that I have this morning are both directed at Ken's and at us as a brotherhood here as we send them. As I thought about this preparing that has happened over the years in Ken's life and in the life of his family that has enabled them to take up this work that God has called them to, my mind went to Ephesians 4, and I'd like to read some verses here. I'm going to turn with me to Ephesians 4. And we'll just break into the thought of the Apostle Paul here. I'm going to read verses 7 and 8 and then skip down to verse 10. Ephesians 4, verse 7. Unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. There's the word grace again. This is the grace that we're commending Ken to and ourselves as well. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Dropping down, I'm sorry, to verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. I've always really enjoyed this passage as I think about the work that God is doing among his people through his grace. He's enabling us with many gifts, many giftings in the body. And I think we've seen that at work in Ken's life. And I hope in all of our lives we've seen the work of God changing us, making us into a different person. And he tells us that as these gifts come together in the body, the whole purpose of it is so that the body can be pulled together, can be knit together, that the body can be perfected, the saints can be perfected, that they can be encouraged and built up in their unity and the work that God has called each of us to. And as I thought about this process that has been at work in Ken's life, and I think also in our lives as well, this isn't just a platitude or a trite phrase that we say that God is at work in our lives, although I think too often we just say it that way. God's been doing things. God's at work in my life. But do we stop and put names and real things, real situations to that? My encouragement to you, Ken, and to each of us as we look at where we are and where God has called us to take up these giftings that God has given us and apply them to the very real circumstances that we find before us. And I realized as I read this passage in preparing for this, that often I stop at verse 16. I enjoy this passage and I appreciate all the giftings that God has given to his church. And I think about the whole body being joined together and every member, like the picture of the bones being held together by the ligaments. In verse 16, every joint contributing something to it. But Ephesians doesn't stop there. And if we'd have time this morning, ideally I think the message would go on to include the rest of the book of the Ephesians here. Because I think he goes on to talk about how this is going to happen. This pulling together, this work, for want of a better word, this work that God wants to do in our lives. There are very real warnings for each of us that we need to take up and apply to the situations before us. And I just briefly, as my eye went down over the passage here, I looked at verses 17, I guess, through 21. He talks about the fact that all of us are dealing with the old man, even those of us who have been walking with Christ for years. find in us the flesh, the old life that is wanting to rise up again. It needs to be put down. And Paul gives us the tools to do that and tells us the message that God has for us is, like in verse 23, to be renewed in the spirit of our mind and put on the new man. That's something that needs to keep happening. And I know as Kens go, as they leave here and embark on this new endeavor, that these real temptations are going to follow them to wherever they go. There's going to be real challenges facing them, temptations of the evil one. I don't know what those will be, but I just want to commend you to the grace of God and know that God in His Word can give us real solutions to these challenges we face. All of us, I think, moving down further, we could talk about the fact that we all face bitterness about things that have happened in the past. We look back in the past and we think about what has happened to us or to other people. And there's times that bitterness wants to rise up in us, or anger. But once again, the answer is here in Ephesians. I went to verse 32, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And so once again, this work that God wants to do in us is a very real work, addressing the bitterness and pain in our lives with the forgiveness of Christ. We could keep going down into chapter 5. The first part of chapter 5 is talking about the fact that the immorality and the filth of this world is a constant pressure against God's people. There is a constant push of the world against the purity that is in Christ. And all of us, whether we're in Ireland or here in Stewart's Draft, there's this constant push to let down our guard and to know what the world is talking about and doing. But chapter 5, verse 11 tells us, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful workers of darkness, but rather reprove them. And so, as I think of what God has done in preparing Ken and his family for the work in Ireland, these many years of experiences of trials, I think we'd say, frankly, there's been trials, there's been temptations, times when I've wanted to give up, and I'm pretty sure I can say that there's been times when Ken was probably faced with the temptation to give up and to not keep going. But I know that as we press on, that God has a work for each of us. And our service this morning is a time of commissioning, of sending our brother and his family. But I think it ought to be a time also of calling each of us to take up the work that God is wanting to do in our lives, to accept the solutions that God has for us for the challenges we're facing. And I'm confident that God is preparing each of us for a work as well. I'm confident that God did not save us just to have us live our simple life with no involvement in the world around us. I know that Ken and his family have not been just sitting idly in their time here in Stewart's Draft. And I know that as they go, that there's going to be gaps, there's going to be holes. There will be responsibilities untended and deeds undone, things seen and unseen, small and large, that simply will not be done because the ones who have done them in the past won't be here to do them anymore. But that ought to be a challenge to each of us, to step up to the responsibilities that God's called us to take up, those hidden things even, those small things, and find a place where we can serve in a way that God has called us to. And I wanted to close with some words from Paul, and this is my personal, my personal prayer for you, Ken, and your family, from 2 Thessalonians 2:16 and 17, where Paul said, "Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts, and establish you in every good word and work."
Good morning, everyone. Christian greetings to each one here this morning. Welcome to this special service. I'm here with mixed feelings this morning. It's as Dwayne said, this has been talked about for quite some time, and now the time is drawing very close that Brother Ken and his family are leaving. And as I thought of the occasion here this morning, and I was pondering what I could share with Brother Ken and his family, as well as with all of us, my mind went back to the several times that we made moves. However, it was only from state to state. Leaving familiar settings, going to unfamiliar settings, going to a place we never were before. And here, Kens they're planning on leaving for Ireland, another country, another culture, you might say. They're not only moving from one state to another, they're leaving very familiar surroundings, especially as we think the fact that most of them have been here all their lives. And I think for Brother Ken is 40-some years that he's been here in the Stewart's Draft area. And it's not going to only bring a major change for them, but it's also going to bring a change for us here. So how are we going to deal with this change as a congregation? And I want this message, short message, to be an encouragement to Brother Ken and his family, as well as to all of us, as I think Brother Ken and his family are going to be feeling this move in a more, this change in a more dramatic way, as they're planning on pulling roots up here and be established in another country. You know, we live in a ever-changing world, and it's a comfort to know that we can have the confidence to know God who never changes. And this morning, my encouragement to all of us here is, let's hold to God's unchanging hand. We know that we have an account in the Old Testament how Abram, how he followed God and obeyed what God told him to do. In Genesis 12:1, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee." Kens have been called, and they felt the call of the Lord, and they're responding to this call. So as we think of God and his unchanging hand, I think there is something special about a hand that is unchanging, a hand that is there for you. It's a feeling of security. It's a sense of belonging. Some of the blessings of holding onto God's hand, I think the blessings are innumerable in doing that, but just a few that I thought of here. As we live in this world where everything changes instantly, it is a blessing for us as believers to know that God's hand is unchanging. And we can go to his hand, we can hold his hand here in the States as well as over in Ireland. And his hand will be there for us. His way of dealing with us is constant and it's predictable. He won't be with us here today and then be gone tomorrow. He'll be there for us tomorrow as well. When Israel prepared to go to uncharted territory, unknown territory, Moses reminded them in Deuteronomy 31:6, "Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." He will be with us. He will never leave us, nor will he forsake us. In God's hands we are safe. He will not walk out on us. God is also compassionate toward us, and who of us doesn't want to have a hold of someone's hand that is compassionate, that cares for us? There are times, there may be times when we may feel that people around us don't understand. But God always knows. He knows our motives. Because God knows, he can help us carry our load. And our faith in him can make our load lighter. The change that we are going to face, He can help us through that. In Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's Jesus speaking. That's Jesus' compassionate heart to us as His children. God cares for each one of us here this morning. God's hand is also strong enough to hold us up. We have that all familiar scripture in Isaiah 40, verses 15 to 30. I'm just going to be reading just a few of the verses here. Isaiah 40, verse 15. "Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, He taketh up the isle as a very little thing." Then jumping down to verse 28. "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Isaiah here painting a picture of God being so powerful that all the nations of the world form as only a drop in the bucket in comparison to His strength. There is no strength greater than the strength of the Lord. And who else do we want to, whose hand do we want to have other than His? Whatever problem we face, He is there for us. Whatever change we're going to be facing, He's going to be there for us. He will help us go through that. There is nothing too hard for Him. God's hand also protects us. He uses His power to protect His faithful. As we know, that security is a big thing in our world today. Security at airports, train stations, schools, stores, and even a lot of the homes have security systems in. Yet, while we rely on these systems, while people rely on these systems for a measure of security, the believer trusts in God for His ultimate protection. In Isaiah 41:10-13, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught." Security in the hand of God. In times of great difficulty, in times of change, believers can find refuge and strength in God. Psalm 41:6. "God is our strength." I'm sorry, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." In time of change, let's hold to God's unchanging hand. To hold God's hand successfully, I think we need to give Him our hand. We need to ask Him to hold our hand. When God holds our hand, He guides us. I had to think back when I was in school and we were being taught cursive writing. The teacher actually took your hand to start with and took you through the letters for cursive writing. God does that with us if we allow Him to. He will guide us. He will control our lives. As a God that knows everything, as a God that is all-powerful, who else do we want our lives, commit our lives to than someone like that? He knows our beginning to the end. songwriter goes like this: Lord, let me walk each day with Thee. Lead me, O Lord, lead me. The chorus of one of the songs that we sometimes sing. Sometimes I find myself slipping, and I have to cry out to God, help me, take my hand, hold me in your everlasting arms. There are times when we can't see the way. As Brother Ken and his family are leaving for Ireland this week, they're in essence going to uncharted territory in a way for their family, and they don't know what lies ahead of them, but they can be assured if they have their hands committed unto God, He will show them the way. And I want to close with a verse in Deuteronomy 31:6. As we think of the changes that Brother Ken's and us as a congregation will be going through, but I just have to think of what Brother Jerry said this morning. I think it should, yes, there's a sense of sadness, but there's also a sense of excitement to think that Ken and his family going over and winning souls for Christ in Ireland. And I can say that it's been a real joy to work with Brother Ken and here on the team. And he has had a lot to do with why we're here in Stewart's Draft. And Ken's family came and met with us when we were thinking of going to another community. And they invited us here. So we saw God leading and guiding through that situation. And I often have to think back when we were boys playing together here. And it amazes me when I think of the fact that here we are at this point. Who would have thought back then that it would be this way? But I thank and praise God for the way that He has led and for the way that He is leading Ken and his family. Just as Israel prepared to go into unknown territory, Moses reminded them in Deuteronomy 31:6. I want to close with this: Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. May God richly bless you.
I'd also like to greet all of you in the name of Jesus this morning. I was thinking about Jesus. He's our good shepherd. He's also the builder of the church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against that church. This morning, as I was thinking about this service, my mind went to the experience of Elijah. And I suppose if this little talk would have a title, I would title it Elijah's Mantle. And I'd just like to read a couple of passages from Elijah's experience in 1 Kings 19, verses 19 through 21, and then also a passage in 2 Kings. As I think about the mantle of Elijah, I was also thinking about hearing and responding to God's call, and then to take on the responsibilities that come to us. And I was thinking that I need to be speaking to Brother Ken and to his family, to use the church. And yet, as I was considering all of this, it comes out more as also a testimony of my own experience. And so I want to bring honor to God about this, with this, and also if Brother Ken can be blessed by it, and he's welcome for that. 1 Kings 19, verse 19, it says, And so he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, Go back again, for what have I done to thee? And I might just insert that I think Martin Luther's translation would give this something like this, Go on home and come again, but consider what I have done to you. I like that. Again, in verse 21, And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. I like to think about this experience of Elijah throwing his mantle on Elisha. A mantle was an outer garment, a serviceable garment, and I think Elijah used it quite hard in his wilderness preaching, in his journeys and travels. But I think about a mantle and casting this mantle on Elisha as giving a call to Elisha to come and be involved in the work that I'm in. And in a sense, all of us have had a mantle cast upon us. We've all had a call of God, and especially those of us who have responded to that call of God have a mantle placed upon us. And then I'd like to just turn back to 2 Kings 2. I'd like to read a passage here. We would do well to read verses 9 through 14, but I think we will just drop down to verse 13. After Elisha saw the chariot of fire coming down and separating the two of them, then we pick up the account here in verse 13. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Here we find that Elisha chose to pick up the mantle of Elijah. And I think this is significant because when we get a call from God, we accept that call, yes. But there also comes a time when we need to pick it up. We need to do this out of choice. We need to choose to accept the call. And as I was thinking about this whole thing, I was thinking that many of us, the call of God comes through appointment by the church. And we understand that. It's been our policy and our principle of our churches for this. But then it's not always that way. Others hear a call and respond accordingly. They're involved in God's work. And regardless of how the call comes, there is a time when we need to deliberately sometimes choose to accept and embrace and take up the call. And I was thinking about a brother at the minister's meeting last spring. He said something like this, that he has been ordained for 12 years, but he said it's only in the last 2 years that he really embraced his call. And we do well to embrace the call that God gives to us. And I really think that if we refuse to embrace that call, and if God calls us to give something and we refuse to give, we hang on to it, that we're likely going to lose that. I think we will. I think it's Jim Elliot who said, A man is no fool to give what he cannot keep in order to gain what he cannot lose. And so when God calls us, we do well to accept that call. We do well to choose to accept that call, pick up the mantle, wear it willingly. As I was thinking about my experience with Brother Ken, I count him as a dear brother. I shared the lot with him when he was ordained. And so we have, in these years, we have had a number of experiences together and looked at many different issues in the church. And so in some ways, and you know that the ordination last summer was in preparation for this time. And in a sense, I have felt that Brother Ken's mantle is being passed on to me. And yet, I cannot be Ken. I don't want to be him. I need to be who God wants me to be. And as I think about choosing to pick up the mantle that is being dropped. I find it hard to do sometimes. Sometimes I feel like I want to just leave it lay, but then I need to pick it up and to wear it. And hopefully the time can come when I can wear it full time, willingly, and of my free choice. I'd like to just say a few words to Brother Ken's family, to his children. Just like to say, make the most of the opportunities that come your way. And there's going to be a different culture ahead of you. There's going to be different people that you're going to be interacting with. And it's going to be great for a while. Hopefully it'll be great all the while. But likely there will come a time when you might wish to be back home with your schoolmates and with your youth group, because things are going to be different there. And when those times come, I'd just like to encourage you to choose to pick up the mantle that is upon your parents for their calling there, and to work with that and make it your own. Try to make it your own. I heard a comment recently that said something like this in part, that commitment is going into something without knowing the outcome. And in a large part, that is what your family, you all, are doing. You're going into this without knowing the outcome. And for myself, I want to be willing to give myself to the building of the church. And for the congregation, I'd just like to encourage you to be willing to pick up for responsibilities that come. And I want to say that I have really been blessed by the way that you all have been doing this in preparation for this time. And I just want to bless you for that. I guess our hearts are in the work in Ireland, as some of our families there. And I was just thinking that maybe we need to assign you a role of uncle and aunt to our children there. And certainly God is good. I'd just like to leave a benediction with you. 1 Peter 5:4. This passage speaks to the leaders, the pastors in the church, but I think it is also fitting for all of us. It says, "When the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Lord bless you.
I'd like to thank the Lord and the brethren for this timely sharing. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time, but I would like to share just a few things yet. It's been a blessing to have known Brother Ken all his life, basically. He spent a lot of time in our home because of being friends of our son. And so memories go back not only to being a minister, working together, but also as a youth, and then as a family, as a young couple, and then also in the ministry. I don't know if Linda knows this or not, but he asked me about you being his wife before he did you, so I had a little advantage of you there. But I'm glad that he didn't just take my counsel, but he did give you opportunity to say yes. Some of you probably not conscious of this, but soon after Ken's family experience in Kenya, it's probably something I'll never forget. I was coming home from Lexington with the truck. I was by myself, and my wife called me to tell me about the accident in Kenya, and said, "There's really no one knows for sure how serious it is." I don't know if I've ever prayed out loud driving down the road like I did that day. And also went to Willis's and shared that, which I really didn't know for sure how serious it was. Then a few weeks after that, or a month, I don't remember exactly how long it was after, I had the privilege of going to Ireland as a board member. Kenya. And I spent about a week in Ken's home there in Kenya. And that was a blessing to me, and being there in the mornings for the devotions and singing together as a family. That was a blessing. And so I thank God for this opportunity that we've had in working together, and then the last 6+ years as fellow minister, and I treasure this. And you know, we kind of glibly say sometimes nobody's indispensable, and there's a lot of truth to that. And yet, someone, like was mentioned, has to carry on the work. And so there is an adjustment. We can say what we want to. There's still going to be an adjustment. And so we're looking to the Lord and looking to the congregation and all of us together that we can work together in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. I've been reading in Colossians and Thessalonians lately, and some of these scriptures I have just read over several times and were a blessing to me. And so I'm not going to go in a lot of detail here, but in Colossians chapter 4, we find Paul here was mentioning different of his fellow laborers and the blessing they were. And then in verse 17 he says, "And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it." And I share that with Ken and his family. I share that with all of us. The ministry or the responsibility or the calling that we've received, that we receive it as to the Lord and fulfill it. We cannot fulfill our own strength, but we can fill it by the grace of God. I remember our family being in Belize for 8 weeks, and I think maybe they adjusted a lot better than I did. And it was rather difficult for me. I remember being out behind the house there in a little chicken house and going about doing some work and just feeling all alone, feeling far away from home. And then, you know, a thought came to me, and it's come to me often, occasionally at least, is home is where the heart is. And I think that's so important. So I'd like to encourage you as a family, even though there's adjustment, it's where we have a heart. That's where it becomes our home. And I think that's not only for Ken's, that's for all of us, that we make this our home as we have our heart where God wants it to be. And that becomes our work and our calling. And so we praise God for that. And so we simply say to Brother Ken and his family, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it, thou continue in it, and being faithful in your calling in as you go to Ireland. All right, at this time, I think we'll proceed with the commissioning service. So we'll ask Ken and Linda to stand. Brother Ken and Sister Linda, do you believe that this call from Mission Interest Committee, confirmed through the church, is a call from God to the mission field?
Yes.
Are you willing to accept this service and by the grace of God and the Holy Spirit to give yourself to the work of the Lord as a faithful servant of the Word?
Yes, I am.
Are you willing to assist the mission church in which you shall serve in accordance with the instructions and teachings of the gospel, submitting yourself to the directions of Mission Interest Committee, and in all things show yourself an approved workman in the vineyard of the Lord?
By His grace, I will.
Brother, we commission you to continue the work of the church in Ireland. God richly bless and enable you as you fulfill your calling to preach and teach the all things. And as you assist in the ministration of the church, God bless your faithful wife as she assists you in fulfilling your calling. May God bless your children as they continue to be a blessing and enable Deborah and David and Abigail and Jonathan and Joseph and Joshua to be a faithful witness. May your family continue to work united together as you minister in song and continue to build the kingdom of God. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. 2 Corinthians 9:8. At this time, I ask the family as well to kneel. And we'll ask my fellow ministers to come. Brother Willis, would you come forward? Stand there. Come on, Lee. Let's lay hands on you.
Simon, would you lead the prayer? Also remember Linda. Yes, dear God in heaven, we come to you this morning in the name of Jesus. We thank you so much for the provisions that you've made for the continuance of the church. And we just thank you for this time. We pray that you would be with us and bless us as a church as we do this sending forth. May this be in your name and for your glory. And we pray that you would especially bless our sister, Sister Linda, as she supports her husband in his work and as she goes about her responsibilities as a pastor and minister's wife and she mothers to her children and cares for her household. May your grace and peace rest with her and give her enabling grace and strength in times to come. And we pray this in Jesus' name.
Father in heaven, as we continue to pray, we just want to ask your blessing over Brother Ken. Just now, may your spirit go with him as he is sent to Ireland. May you give him the grace and strength he needs, Father, to be what you want him to be there in bringing souls to you. So we just ask that you would bless him, Lynn and the family in a very special way, in Jesus' name.
Our Father in heaven, we just want to commend our brother and his family into your hands. We want to send them. Father, just pray that you would bless them as they go. Father, just pray that you would make this transition easy for them and for us as well. We want to commend them to your grace and your keeping and your care as they go. Father, pray that you would prepare the way before them. And Father, just pray that you would make them to abound into every good word and work through Christ Jesus our Lord.
Righteous Father, we are grateful for this privilege of having had Brother Ken and Linda and their family in our midst these number of years. And we thank and praise you for that. Thank you for their faithfulness. Thank you for their desire to walk with you and to honor you and glorify you and to build your kingdom. So Father, bless them as they leave this community, this congregation, as they go to Ireland. Father, be with them and bless them and enable them in a very special way. And use them, Father, as he preaches, as the family is a light for lighthouse, shining light for you, Father. Bless them in all this, that their lives can be a blessing. And so bless Ken and Linda and their family in the way that you can be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name we pray.
To you, children, I would like to read the verse in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. It's talking about God the Father being able to do this for you. And I especially want to emphasize the word establish. I'd like to see each one of you established in the word and the work of the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, I just thank you for Deborah, thank you for David, Abigail, Jonathan, Joseph, and Joshua, their lives, that you have, the way you have helped them to grow in their life. And we just pray that you would continue to be with them, guide and direct their lives, that they might be able to grow up to be men and women, to be a testimony and a witness for you wherever they are. We pray that you would continue to bless them in their singing as they witness to others. Help them to be a shining light for you there in Ireland. Pray for your safety physically as well as spiritually as they go, that they continue to be faithful to you and serve you with their whole heart. We just want to commit them into your hands, and we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
At this time, we mentioned, there's going to be adjustment as a ministerial team, with Ken not being with us anymore. And so we, as those of us who are still here, the four of us, we would like to commit ourselves to, by the help and the grace of God, to be the leaders that God wants us to be in the builders in the church. We want to open up our lives to... I know Ken's done a lot of counseling and sharing, and we'll miss that. But we want to commit ourselves to work together by the grace of God. And so we're asking Brother Ken to come up here, and as we join hands, and asking him to especially pray for us as we make this adjustment.
Shall we all pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that you are here. Thank you that your Son is here in our midst. Thank you that we, by His grace, are seeking to obey His teachings, to make disciples of all nations, and teaching them and baptizing them. And Father, I pray that you would allow this moment in time here at Pilgrim to be a time of growth and to be a time of drawing together. And Lord, I thank you especially for these dear brothers of mine here. Thank you that you've allowed us to work together in the work of the church, and for the many experiences we've shared together. Lord, all the times of relating around your word, the times of prayer we've had, the times of even laughter, and the times of joy, and some times of difficulty and sorrow too, Father, as we've acknowledged our weakness and our lack of wisdom in so many ways. And yet we thank you, Lord, that, Lord Jesus, that you've promised that you will build your church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, but rather that the church would advance and take over more and more of Satan's territory. And we thank you, Lord, for a step forward here today, that we are, by your grace, sending out resources from among us to take on the work in other places, Lord. And we see it as spreading out the tent, of staking out the tent stakes further. We see it, Lord, as a birth where the mother is giving birth to a daughter work. And, oh, Lord, I thank you for these things. And we acknowledge we're in the midst of some labor pains and some birth pains. But we thank you for what you're going to do. Right now, I ask your special blessing on these four brothers. Brother Benny, dear Lord, and his responsibilities as bishop. Brother Dwayne at his side as deacon. Brother Simon and Brother John as ministers of the gospel. Lord, I pray for them that in their personal lives they might draw closer to you, and that they might be in your word, especially in the teachings of Jesus. Lord, that they might just absorb and be consumed by his person, his teachings, that he might be in the center of their relationship, that they might continue, dear Lord, to understand what it means to surrender to you, yield to you, and to one another. Lord, that they could continue to be an example of how brothers ought to relate together. And I pray that you would use this team of men in a powerful way to lead this congregation into the future, with all the complexities and uncertainties that we face in the world, and the various situations and challenges we face here, Lord, I know that you'll give them wisdom as we pray in faith without wavering. Yes. Thank you for your promise that you will do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And now also, Lord, I pray for this congregation, that you would help each brother and sister here to stand behind these men, to come along beside and encourage and support, dear Lord. And I pray that this could be a real time of drawing together and of coming together in unity around your Son. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Brother Roger, come forward.
morning I count it a privilege to consider Brother Ken my friend, though maybe somewhat more of a remote sense than some of you, but I certainly consider him a brother in the Lord. My mind did go back just a bit a number of years ago, where I know that Brother Ken was instrumental in an experience in my life that pulled me out of my comfort zone. It stretched me, and it was extremely scary. But the rewards and the blessings were tremendous, and I'm glad to be part of an organization today that could make that reciprocal. I don't want to be insensitive to the sense of loss today and the sense of parting, but just last Thursday we got home from Ireland, and I assure you that there's always a different perspective to every situation that we face in life. I know some people, Brother Ken, that are full of anticipation, expectation, full of excitement about this move. We bless you in that as you go. It caused me to think of the verse in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. Our brother John said, "And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands." I realize in your move to Ireland, you will not necessarily be interacting with a different tongue. It's all English. But you will find that there are also various Englishes. Having done some other travel just recently, where we did come across many, many languages, I also thought of this verse. But even in interacting with English only, there's various perspectives on how you say things. In fact, there's various perspectives on how we think. Sometimes we assume that American conservative Anabaptism is the only way to think. Sometimes we assume that maybe the way things are thought and done and processed in our thought processes in the Shenandoah Valley are the only way to do it. Let me assure you that there are other perspectives in life that we need to be able to interrelate with, to be able to interact with, to be able to understand. There can be various misunderstandings. As an example, let me be so bold as to just a tiny little thing. Just a tiny little thing can make a great difference, can it not? Some of you will take some time to recognize what it is. Goodbye is riot forever. And I did very little. And sometimes we don't even know what mistake we made. So I encourage you, Brother Ken, as your goodwill, your friendliness has stood you in good stead in the past, continue with that. And to the family, I would encourage you that sometimes it's even good to hold real tight onto a good sense of sanctified humor. Things can be different. I'm thinking as we traveled around in Ireland, I noticed a sign that said, "Return your trolleys here." It's just one of those things you have to do a double take to try to understand what they're saying, even though it's English. I was in a grocery store. And so you return your grocery carts here. They call them trolleys. And that's okay. Who said we have to call them grocery carts? They don't have trucks over there. They haul their things in lorries. And that's okay. Join in the people you're going to serve. Be part of them. I realized that in Ireland, a toilet is not something you go to Lowe's and buy a piece of furniture of. It's the facility when you look for the facility. And I was going down the road one day and I saw a sign that said, "Do not overtake." And I had to think a while and do a double take until I realized I was in a no passing zone. That's okay. Some things are different. Even though it's all English. But this morning, as a representative of MIC, we bless you, brother, for being willing to go and serve in the kingdom of Christ in that place. I commend you to the grace of God, which is sufficient. And to the entire family, I would say, go with God.